RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, Monday morning? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide. On the free Odyssey app, we got ourselves a show today. I was out in Charlottesville. I'll recap UVA, Maryland, lost for the Hoos. But still, I don't think it necessarily changes the trajectory of things. You know we'll talk Virginia Tech football. They did it, folks. They won in Norfolk. Big outcome for the Hokies. We'll dive into that. High school football. We'll play the highlights from Friday Night Lights. I know what you're thinking if you're a Cowboys fan. Whew, I'm so glad it's a big show. MP won't have any time to talk about the Cowboys. We'll make time to talk about the Cowboys. Don't you worry about that. We'll get to all that. Your phone calls, 833-804-0910. But you know we got to start with a victory Monday for the Washington Commanders.
What's that smell?
No, I taste victory.
Oh, victory!
Here we go, DC, here we go.
We knew we would get here.
The best is yet to come.
Yes! I love it. For the second week in a row, the most important play of the game was the first play. I thought last week when they fumbled it for a negative 15 yards, that kind of set the tone and things didn't really get back on track at any point beyond that. Most important play yesterday's game was the opening kickoff. Austin Eckler took it back to the house, called back on a penalty. That set the tone for a day of penalties. That set the tone on a day where both Eckler and B-Rob were nothing short of fantastic on the ground as running backs. It also had the most impactful moment of the game. New York Giants kicker Graham Gano, former Redskin, injured his hamstring trying to chase down Eckler on the kickoff return. He did not return to the game. The Giants had to play the entire game without a kicker, and thus, tie game, 18-18 late. So first off, it should have been 21-18 because they would have made three extra points along the way. It's 18-18. The Giants get into the red zone with 2 minutes to go in the game, or about 3 minutes to go in the game. Can't kick the field goal to go ahead. Can't do it. Have to go for it on fourth and four. It was just outside the red zone. Incomplete pass. So it stays 18-18 because they couldn't kick the field goal to go up 21-18. The Commanders drive down. This is clip 11 here. Austin Seibert signed off the roster. If you had told me 6 days ago that Sunday's game would be decided because one team had a good kicker and one team didn't, I would have put the house on a Giants win. You might remember the Commanders didn't have a kicker on Monday afternoon, and yet the Giants didn't have a kicker on Sunday afternoon when it's important to have a kicker. They couldn't kick the field goal to go ahead. Jaden Daniels slices and dices his way down the field. Austin Seibert, why don't you set yourself a new Washington football record in your first game?
From 30 yards out for a win, Seibert, two steps to the left. Way asks if he's ready. Tyler Ott is the snapper. Way turns, gets the snap. It's down, kick on its way. It is up, and it is good! Washington wins 21-18!
We are not in the business at MP on the mic of turning down victories. I don't care how they happen. You don't turn down victories. Am I going to yell about playoffs for 2 hours today? Probably not. Not a playoff team. That's okay. It was a very important win, and a win made possible thanks to the Giants kicker injuring himself on the opening play. You take him however you can get him. Now, things were a little feistier on the Giants side. I told you coming in, whichever team wins gets to take the breath. They're not going to the playoffs, but they get to take a breath. Whichever team loses, there is going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And of course, that wheel lands on Brian Daboll, Giants coach. Here's what happened. Graham Gano had a groin injury all week and was listed on the injury report. And so going into the game, they knew there was injury risk. Now, you'll hear Brian Daboll here say, it wasn't his groin that got injured. It was his hamstring that got injured. You'll also hear the Giants reporters, who are staring down another 3-14 season, not super fired up about that explanation.
Can you describe your reasoning for only having one kicker active today?
Yeah, because we thought Graham would be okay. He got hurt chasing down a hamstring. He didn't hurt his groin. He hurt his hamstring.
But Brian, are you saying that you can't hurt your hamstring running with favoring your groin?
I'm not a doctor.
Isn't that part of the deal that you have to, you know, that it is a risk? Like you had the same thing last year with him. Like, he came in with an injury. You're taking a risk that it could get re-injured. Why not have it?
I mean, anybody can get injured, Jordan. So,
but no,
again, he was chasing a kickoff return. He pulled his hamstring. I'm not making excuses.
He's not a doctor, folks. He didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. He might be staying at Holiday Inn Expresses in the future because he's not going to be traveling with the New York Giants for much longer at this pace. Is it not possible to injure your hamstring because you're favoring your groin? I'm not a doctor. That's fantastic. Wait, we expect him to do. Touchdown didn't even count. They called it back. Of course, you know that because the Commanders scored no touchdowns and still won the football game. I love it. I can't get enough of it. Just a delightfully wacky football game. So you come out of this, we'll address all major storylines here. We got 2 hours with you. Don't worry. We'll dive into all this. From the special teams perspective, here's what I want to say about Austin Seibert. Good for him. 7 field goals in your opening game with a team. That's good for job security. 2, kicking is so random in the NFL because 6 of the 7 field goals he made, and again, I'm glad he made them, 6 of the 7 field goals he made were shorter than an extra point. That's how easy his day is. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that if Cade York had been asked to make those 6 field goals, he would have. And we Cade York, another genius move by Adam Peters, trades with the Browns, gets the kicker of the future. That guy nailed it again. But instead, Cade York in Tampa is asked to kick from 46 and 54 yards. Misses them both. Thanks for playing. See you next time. It's circumstances everything in the NFL.
He was really mad on Sunday watching that game.
Well, I could have made that kick if you'd asked me to make that one.
Yeah, six tries?
We don't even know if Austin Seibert's good or not yet. We'll find out if he can convert from 50, which is a key factor in the NFL, right? You saw. By the way, maybe we'll do kicker chat later this week. We're not doing full-on kicker chat today. Justin Tucker missed again from 50-plus. That used to be the most reliable thing in football. He's now 0 for 2 this year. 0 for 2 is a small sample size, but he used to be so automatic, it's a little jarring to see. And, of course, in Kansas City, everybody's friend Harrison Butker. You can say whatever you want to say all offseason. When they call you out there, 52-yard field goal, win a football game, you got to kick that between the uprights. And if you kick it between the uprights, you can say whatever you want to say all offseason. That's the deal. That's the contract. You say, you run your mouth, say whatever you want to say, you put that ball through the uprights and win the game, everybody's good. Austin Seibert put the ball through the uprights, won the game. I don't know what his personal views are. I know he wore a Death Row Records shirt to the post-game press conference. I got to give him his props for that. Somebody asked him who his favorite artist was. He said, I'm just wearing the shirt because I like it, which is it's a very white guy kicker thing to say. He's 7 for 7. The Commanders are 1-1, which feels a whole lot better this morning than 0-2. What I want to get into today, I want to start with the defense because they were bad again, and I'm not sure where you go from here on the defense. There's some big questions that need to be asked. And, you know, just calling this what it is, we're going to have a victory Monday. I'm not going to dwell on this. They're going to get smoked by those Cincinnati receivers. That feels like a near certainty at this point. But they, you know, this offense has impressed me through two games. After the Tampa game, I said if they had made the field goals, we're talking about this game differently. Well, they made the field goals yesterday, and we are talking about the game differently. If they had missed any of those field goals and had gone to overtime and the Giants had won, we would be talking about this game differently. So I don't want the field goals to distract from the fact that through 2 weeks, I think this offense has done some good things. Adam Peters getting the addition of Noah Brown, I think, has been big for these guys. We'll dive into what that means. I think the play calling was really sharp down the stretch. I had big issues around Jaden Daniels' injury. I think he settled down after. I think you have to talk about this game in two chunks, before Jaden Daniels gets injured and after Jaden Daniels gets injured, because it sure looked like it was a big mentality shift from the kid. And I think that could be a pivotal moment, a defining moment in this season, if he can sustain it, which is a lot easier said than done. Set aside the red zone stuff, set aside not scoring a touchdown. The offense moved the ball. The numbers were good. Good things happened. I loved the play calling around Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler and setting up that late screen pass, which they had been working towards all day. You love it when a plan comes together. And I think Cliff Kingsbury probably walked away feeling that yesterday, right? You set up that play, you sweep right, you sweep right, you sweep right, bang, you throw left when you need it, and you get 30 yards from your running back on a pass reception. That's why he's here. He's not just here for his good looks, which have been well noted. He can call a play, and if he can dial up more of that, he's gonna be right back in the head coaching conversation suit. That said, it was not without issues, and he very nearly got his quarterback knocked out. So I want to talk about that. We'll get into Jaden Daniels' day. You'll hear from the quarterback. We'll take you inside the locker room in Landover. We'll do it all. It's the Victory Monday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.
Happy Monday to you, Victory Monday.
Seibert Monday. Seibert Monday for the Commanders. 7 field goals. It's a win. We don't turn down wins around here. The last time an NFL team scored 3 touchdowns and allowed none and still lost was the Vikings beating the Rams 23-21 in 1989. So it's been a minute since a game that weird happened. Better to be on the positive side of a game that weird than the other side of a game that weird. Our guy George says he loves that sounder. Hazel, you're doing your best to make Commanders sound like an actual good name. Yesterday's not the game. I always love that the hypothetical people. Well, when the Commanders win the Super Bowl, you'll want to keep the name. I just love that hypothetical. Like, yeah, sure, I might. Because that would be fun. I'm going to go ahead and not plan my life around hypotheticals that involve the Commanders winning the Super Bowl and live here in the real world, which is where we are today with our guy, Jaden Daniels. We're taking you inside the Commanders locker room as we do on Mondays. Great trip up to Landover yesterday. Commanders undefeated all time at Northwest Stadium. A little tidbit for you there. Northwest Stadium has been very good to the team. Now, they've never scored a touchdown at Northwest Stadium, so that's an issue. We'll tidy that up. But they're undefeated all time at Northwest Stadium. We're 10 minutes away from a little Hokies talk. Rootin' Tootin' Scootin', Base Shell Tootin', found the end zone, helped them to a victory over Old Dominion. We'll dive into that at 10:30. Right now, though, look, here's the big discussion. And I asked Jaden Daniels about this. We'll play this clip in a second, but I'll set it up. All last week, I think a lot of the hand-wringing was, is Jaden Daniels running the ball too much? And is this sustainable? Slash, is he going to get himself killed? That was a big line of discussion, line of talking and thinking externally. And so I asked Jaden Daniels yesterday, was that a point of conversation in the building? Is that something you and Cliff Kingsbury talked about? Here's what Jaden Daniels had to say.
Did you have those conversations in?
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Inside the building with Cliff, what was that like?
Not at all. Just call the game. At the end of the day, the defense dictates what we do. So we go out there, you're just playing football at that point.
So you feel comfortable with what you're being asked to do?
I mean, you got to pick and choose your spots. But, you know, go out there and manage the game, play football, and go out and make plays.
That's the right wiring for the quarterback. And I think Cliff Kingsbury has done a lot of really good things to make life easier for Jaden Daniels. Some of it, which has involved external hand-wringing last week, right? Terry McLaurin only lines up on the left. I don't know if you saw the clip, Bo Nix getting essentially what was almost a delay of game penalty in Denver because the play call was too long yesterday. Look, Sean Payton has thrown the whole offense at Bo Nix, and you can see his head's spinning out there. And they haven't done that to Jaden Daniels, and I think that's been really smart. And I know the fans want to win and want to see everything now, but I think they've handled his development really well. Cliff Kingsbury, though, is the responsible party here. I say that because he is correctly wiring Jaden Daniels. Don't think about the other stuff. Don't think you can do this or can't. Just, when I call a play, run the play, do your best. Now, he's clearly got the green light to run, and it's hard because when you go watch the tape, now we got 2 weeks of it, almost every time Jaden Daniels decides to run, it's the right decision. What concerned me yesterday, first quarter, Jaden Daniels was looking for man coverage in the defense, and when he got it, so when the defense is lined up man-to-man, everybody's running with a receiver as opposed to zone where you got people sitting in zones. When he saw man, he knew, I'm going to be able to run. And the problem isn't that. The problem is he's right. He was always able to run. If he goes to the line and sees the defense in man, he knows, all right, get in the pocket, count to five, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, take off. And you're going to get 10 yards every time. And it's not his fault. He's good at it. But part of his development is going to be looking for the pass first, looking for the run second. Now, I said the first quarter. I think after the injury, he turned a corner. Now, we are all very lucky that injury was not worse. He took a brutal hit. Just helmet straight in the ribs. He got the wind knocked out of him. Nothing broken. That's a best-case scenario there. He popped back into the game. That could have been way worse. Cliff Kingsbury, I again, for the second consecutive week, say, you've got to be the adult in the room. First down, that three-play sequence. First down, Jaden Daniels, it looked like a pass. Jaden ran the ball, took a hit. That's fine. Second down, they called a run for him. It looked like a designed quarterback run. You shouldn't call a run for the quarterback right after he runs the ball, right? That's that back-to-back, that's a bad idea. You need to let him settle in. That was my least favorite play call of the whole game right there. Second down, right after the kid takes a hit, he said, why don't you go take another hit? That's a bad idea. Then third down, third and 13, Jane's trying to get third and 13. It's a tie football game. It's 6-6. He got man coverage. He ran. I'm not mad about it. He was right. But it was three runs in a row. He takes the third hit. That one was the worst hit. He has to leave the game. Jeff Driscoll comes in for a play. Jaden comes back, leads him down to the 8-yard line. They kick a field goal, as they did basically every time they touched the ball yesterday. A good outcome for Jaden Daniels. I thought after that hit, he settled in and he was looking past first, run second. I don't know that the play calling changed substantially, honestly, but I think his mentality changed substantially, that he was all of a sudden looking, okay, even if I see man, even if they're daring me to run, I need to look for the throw first. And when he looked, a lot of times he found it, and he ended up throwing the ball 29 times yesterday, which is a good number. That's where you want him to be. 10 runs, you split it, right? He had five in front of the injury and then five behind the injury when there was more game time. So I think on the whole, we saw a much, much more sustainable version of this offense after. That's why you're not going to catch a lot of, you know, like, Jaden can't last forever, because I do want to divide the game into those two segments. I think after the hit, it may have been, what was the MTV show, Scared Straight, where they took the kids to the jails? I think Jaden got a little scared straight. Like, okay, I can't be doing this every play, every game, even if it's and I have good receivers, which is true. Zach Ertz, your top pass catcher yesterday, once again a non-receiver for the second consecutive week. Terry McLaurin got 22 yards on 6 catches. Still trying to figure out how to get him into this offense. That's something that they're working on. Noah Brown, a great addition, obviously. Now, the other part of this is, and we got time to dive into everything today. I thought Brandon Coleman was not as good as Cornelius Lucas at left tackle. I know we've all been waiting for that debut. We've all been waiting for Brandon Coleman. And he'd been injured. Didn't get a rookie training camp. Didn't get rookie preseason. Those are big moments for a young player. He didn't look great yesterday. And so I think we have a left tackle situation in the near term. I know we've got a cornerback situation, but we've known that all week. Poor Awad, he's fired up about his guy getting in there, getting the start. Emmanuel Forbes gets benched. We're going to see Michael Davis. Let's go, Michael Davis. Michael Davis got benched because he wasn't doing very well. Now, he got benched. Noah Igbinoghamy comes in. He wasn't good either. As Dan Quinn after the game, DQ said, it's still an open competition. Which I interpreted to mean, yeah, I didn't see what I wanted from any of these guys. We'll dive into the defense. We'll do that in the 11 o'clock hour. We got to get to the Hokies, though. And I was out in Charlottesville late night out there as Maryland comes back and beats them for the second consecutive year. We'll break it all down. We'll put a bow on the Flying Squirrel season. They wrapped up yesterday. We'll do it all. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now, 105.1 FM. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You know us, we're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. If you missed our Commanders chat, here's what you can do. You can grab the app, you can hit the rewind button, or just hang around. We'll get back to the Commanders in 30 minutes. Don't worry. And I know I said I'd make time for the Dallas Cowboys. I'll make time for the Dallas Cowboys. Don't you worry. I got 90 more minutes. I got time. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. He's live. Capital Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night, 12 to 3. I know AWOD does Victory Monday, right? Cyber Monday. Happy Cyber Monday, Commanders fans. 7 field goals for the Commanders kicker. But right now, I want to talk about another Victory Monday, double Victory Monday around here. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan. Look, I'm not... These two games are very similar in a lot of ways. I'm not going to take calls today like, it's just the New York Giants. We're not doing that. It's a win. When you're a bad team, you celebrate wins. When you're the Virginia Tech Hokies, and you haven't won in Norfolk, in every time you've gone down there, you celebrate the win. Oh, they were playing a third-string quarterback. I don't care. It's a win. A win's a win. I got a huge kick out of Norfolk State. Old Dominion. They play in Norfolk. I got a huge kick out of Old Dominion's kicker. quarterback. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
It's a Cyber Monday.
It's Cyber Monday. Happy Cyber Monday. It's the quarterback for Old Dominion. So the starter wasn't able to go. We said all week, they don't know if he's going to play or not. He didn't play. So they started the backup after the first couple of series, like, this isn't going to work. So they put in a freshman quarterback. And you remember Taylor Heineke is like the most famous player in Old Dominion football history. This kid, his last name was like Hennickel. He was like almost Heineke, but not. I was like, I can see why you recruited this kid. That makes a ton of sense. And he rolled off a 65-yard touchdown run. So we had a moment there. It's like, oh, we might have a football game tonight. We didn't have a football game, though. What we had was an historic performance by APR Antoine. All of Hokie history, two guys now, have had 4 sacks in a game multiple times. Bruce Smith is one of them. Bruce Smith is good. Antoine Pelle-Ryland's one of them. He's good. Let's start the highlights.
Good heavens. Are you still trying to win?
I gotta get angry. You gotta get mean. That's the only way you can play.
Your skills will be put to the test.
Kill my father. I'm going to die.
It's the Hokies' revenge tour. They got the revenge over Marshall. They head down to Old Dominion, stop two on the revenge tour. Can they take care of business, right? And I mentioned this was tense for a minute because it looked like they would cruise to victory, 14-0. And then all of a sudden, Old Dominion shows some life. The kid comes in, runs for the touchdown. It's 14-10. It's 17-10. That's when you need your defense to take over. And that's what APR did.
Out of the gun, Hennickel to throw, big rush, comes, and there is APR again to slam him down, the ball popped free, and a big pile on the 18-yard line. Man, APR taking over the game.
Yeah, he was back home for the first time playing in his home area in Tidewater. Hennickel, I just get a kid. Yeah, we remember when Heinicke was here, everybody liked that. Yeah, does he have a kid? No, he's too young to have a kid. All right. What about Hennickel? All right, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's
close enough.
It's the Sam's Choice Cola of quarterbacks there. Hennickel coming in. He was no match for our guy APR, who logged another sack.
So first and five for Old Dominion. Out to the 26. 17-10 the score. And back to throw the quarterback. Going to be slammed to the deck back on the 12-yard line by APR. Came through that Old Dominion O-line and throws Heinicke to the down.
Throws Heinicke. They switched from Hennickel to Heinicke. I think it's like, okay, I see what we're going for here. Let's just lean into it. Kelvin Gilliam started his collegiate career at Oklahoma. He's a Highland Springs guy, though. He's back home. Let's put him on the Hokie board.
Old Dominion is 1 of 9 tonight on third down conversions. This is 3rd and 7 on their 33. Trailing by 10. Empty backfield. Hennickel to throw. Rush comes. Big rush, and he's sacked again. Back on the 22. This time by Kelvin Gilliam. The Highland Springs product gets another Virginia Tech sack.
Yes, sir. 5 sacks of Hennickel. The 4 for APR, though, are the story here coming out of this game. Antoine Pell-Ryland last year had 4 sacks against Wake Forest. That was the first time a Hokie player had 4 sacks in a game since J.C. Price in 1995. It's been a minute. Did it again against Old Dominion, so he now becomes the only other Hokies player alongside, I mean, what company here, alongside Bruce Smith. Multiple 4 sacks games, APR and Bruce Smith. I don't know what APR's NFL prospects are, but I know that was a pretty cool game for him to go back home to get 4 sacks, and gives a little life to this Hokies team, this Hokie defense, going into what's going to be a big, final stop in the revenge tour, a big one this weekend against Rutgers, right? You're dealing with Power 5 now. Autonomy 4, whatever we call it now. I don't know. It's hard to keep track. Rutgers blew these guys off both sides of the offensive line last year. So you talk about the revenge tour, that matters. That you can get production up front. APR and Gilliam are going to be a big part of that game. Offensive line's going to be a big part of that game. I mentioned it was similar to the Commanders. It's funny because in some ways it's very different from the Commanders in that there's so few of these. We played the clip earlier in the week. Brent Pry is like, hey, do you think Kyren Drones is running too much? And the answer is basically like, hey, we're trying to win football games here. No. There's 12 of these trying to make the ACC title game, trying to go all out, taking care of business. But as good as Drones was, this was Bashiel Tutin's day. We've been waiting for this. I think one of the least cool things is if you lose, blame the offensive coordinator. UVA's so good at that, by the way. Who's talking tonight? 6-7 here on The Fan. UVA fans love to blame the offensive coordinator. Sometimes it's other things. Like, if a play doesn't work, though, fans are, stupid offensive coordinator. What a terrible play. I think the Hokies fans had a legitimate gripe over the last couple weeks. Like, hey, we got a good running back here. What if we gave him the ball and let him do the things he's good at? They did that against Old Dominion. It did pay off. Here's Rootin' Tootin' Scootin' going in for the touchdown.
New line of scrimmage is the 22 of Old Dominion. Snap back to KD. Hands it off to Tootin'. A gigantic hole. He sprints to the left. Whoa. Accelerates to the 10-5. Touchdown, Tech. It's another score for the Tugboat. Bashal Tootin puts this one away.
There you go. Now we're talking. I don't know that every week will set itself up for Tootin to have that kind of performance, that kind of outing. But for Bashal Tootin, that was a special day and a chance to show off, hey, this running game can be good. I mentioned, right, you're not going to apologize for a win. This show does not apologize for a win. That's policy around here. It was clear the Hokies were bigger and stronger than the Monarchs on Saturday. And that doesn't change the season outlook for either team. My goodness, Old Dominion, what a brutal schedule. They were competitive in South Carolina, probably should have won. They're competitive against East Carolina. I would argue they should have won. They're going to be 0-3, and yet, as they go into the Sun Belt, I don't know that any of these games are obvious losses for them in the Sun Belt. I'll go one further for you. The way JMU's playing, I think they could hang with JMU this year. I'm gonna bookmark that game as a big night, ODU against JMU. They need to kind of even the in-state score a little. I think this could be the year they do it. Kyron Drones, I said he can't run too much. He can't run too much. Let's kick it back out to the crew. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan.
The new line is the 39. Thomas off the left hip of Kyron Drones. Trips to the left. Blitz comes. Drones runs with the football. Breaks a tackle and explodes. Drones in open field at the 40. Ahead to the 30. Down to the 20. Breaks a tackle at the 15. Puts his shoulder into the safety at the 10. And they knock him down inside the 7-yard line. 53 yards. What a run for Drones. Just running over people. They were pinballing off the Tech QB. It's first and goal.
He can't run too much. He went hard. The team went hard. It was fantastic. Let's take you into the Hokies locker room. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan. Brent Pride giving his flowers to Bashal Tootin.
I think we had to commit to it. You know, sometimes you got to have a little patience and just keep handing it off to 33. I mean, I wanted to see what he could do. You know, he was banged up a little bit, and the true dog came out because he wanted the ball, you know, despite the injury, and he came through for us.
Yeah, you mentioned the injury. I think if there was a downside to the game, Tootin and Ollie Jennings both left to get looked at, came back in. Obviously, we'll see what the next week brings. They're going to need those guys against Rutgers to set up what would be a pretty big game the next week down in Miami. Roadshow for us for that game. I'll be down there in Miami. Should be a fun one. Hopefully, they get the Rutgers win, and that becomes a real big game. Just a regular big game if they're 2-2 going into that. Real big game if they get a 3-win winning streak going and get down to Miami. Chance to prove themselves against what is, I think right now, the ACC's best team. That's Hokie football. Tech Talk Live will be Thursday night right here on The Fan. And, of course, Rutgers game on Saturday. Hokies are early 5-point favorites in that one. We got to step aside. We'll be back. We'll keep this show rolling. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic. Cyber Monday. Happy Cyber Monday to you. Austin Seibert. 7 field goals. Commanders beat the Giants. We'll dive in to more of my game notes from Landover. Got to sit next to the gut check yesterday. I sat between the gut check and Craig Hoffman, who I'm sure we'll hear from at some point this week as well. I was making an appearance on his show on Monday night, so you can tune into that on our sister station, the Team 980, tonight. High school football is the order of business on Friday, although I've noticed... and I don't know, sometimes this stuff's intentional and sometimes this stuff is like, it just happens accidentally. Friday night, there's a really good college football game. It was Arizona and Kansas State, top 25 matchup. This Friday night, there's a really good college football game. It's Illinois and Nebraska, which I think a lot of people will be watching. Fox has put both of those on. I'm wondering if Fox is trying to steal Friday night for college football. In which case, I have the exact... I'm consistent. I'm not consistent. Same reaction I had when the NFL scheduled a game on Friday night. I don't like it. Friday night's for the kids. It needs to be for the kids. Because if you don't grow the sport at a grassroots level, you're not going to have a sport. And I think football feels that particularly acutely. 10 years ago, there were all those stories like nobody's ever going to play football again. What parent would let their kids play football? And this is a sports radio station, so I don't think my take is going to surprise you here. I think there's a lot of like really good things about playing football, like teamwork and getting outside and not playing video games. There are some bad things about playing football too, that I don't think they're working fast enough to solve, but I think they're working to solve it in the name of PR. But if that's how you solve it, then that's how you solve it. But I think high school football is just super important to our communities and to everything else. And I would ask the Fox Network politely, please stop scheduling good college football on Friday night. I get that people watch it, but I think you want to leave that to the kids. We don't have that problem here on 910 The Fan because we got Coach Chris and Gary. Gary and Gary are out there every Friday night. Got a rough one this Friday. The Springers, who are defending state champs, talk about revenge tour. They ran the gauntlet. They invited Phoebus, defending state champ, to come play last week, lost to him. Maury, defending state champ, on Friday night. Everybody's excited for this game. You're defending Class 5 and Class 6 state champs, but Maury got the better of this one. Let's play the highlight though. Let's get the Springers. Give the Springers a little something here. Get them on the board.
Padmore takes the kickoff and is going to go for a touchdown. Jaden Padmore took it at the 30. The unsportsmanlike conduct penalty backed up the kickoff, and he caught it at the 30-yard line, and Jaden Padmore goes for a 70-yard touchdown. Jalen Padmore goes for that 70-yard touchdown, and the Springers get the job done to get on the scoreboard with the kickoff return.
Yeah, this one was all Maury, though. They put the final touches on their 38-7 victory.
Elijah Moss on the near side, three wides to the far side. Back to throw again, looking long for Moss, and it's going to go for a touchdown.
It's a rough night at the ballpark there for the Springers. I don't think that changes anything though. They'll still be in the playoffs. Maybe circle that Verina game. You'll put another. I know you already circled it when the schedule came out. Maybe circle it again. Other high school team on a shout out is Huguenot. Huguenot High. You know I ride for Southside. And so City of Richmond Southside. That's real Southside right there. 50 points on Friday night in the first quarter. 50-point first quarter for the Huguenot Falcons. You knew that Coach Scott would get them rolling. He came over from Life Christian where he built the little private school juggernaut over there. 50-point first quarter, that is, if you're wondering, a school record, although I'm guessing you were not actually wondering about that. Before we duck out here to the top of the hour, Malik Willis, good at Liberty, went to the Titans, didn't really get a chance there. Now he's with the Packers. Weird set of circumstances. Lands on the Packers. Jordan Love gets injured in Brazil. Now all of a sudden, 3 weeks after showing up, Malik Willis is the starter. And by the way, he looked pretty good yesterday as well. Here is the Packers coach, Matt LaFleur, talking about Malik Willis. I think you got a little staying power here for the kid.
I don't think you guys can appreciate or even comprehend the task that Malik Willis, this guy got here 3 weeks ago. And for him to be able to go out there and commend our offense, we still had a lot of long calls. We had shifts, motions, a ton of different run schemes. There was a lot put on his plate. And for him to be able to go out there and do what he did today, I think that speaks volumes of who he is as a person and the work that he's put in. Just super proud of him.
Yeah, he looked good. And, man, coaching matters so much, too. Look at Sam Darnold in Minnesota reviving his career, and I think Matt LaFleur is one of the good ones. He, of course, along with Kevin O'Connell, former Redskins assistants. If they're a good one, they came through here. Didn't stop and coach here, but they came through here. One weird moment in the game, Malik Willis had one weird moment where it looked like he was supposed to throw, but he didn't throw. Head scratcher, Matt LaFleur said, there's a good reason why.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, you're talking about a critical situation. and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with bombing on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
Malik probably didn't appreciate it. Yeah, I don't appreciate knowing that that happened. No. A little puke on the football. The center pukes on the football and hike. Let's go.
The ref saw it and was like, meh.
Play on. I have so many questions, none of which I really want to know the answers to. But Malik Willis, overcoming vomit, overcoming lack of experience, and getting the win for the Green Bay Packers. We're back to Commander's Land after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1. That's the good stuff. Get you hyped up. Happy Cybert Monday, Washington football fans. It's a Victory Monday right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Hokies Victory Monday as well. We'll circle back on them. We'll talk about UVA as well. You'll hear plenty more UVA chat tonight on Who's Talking. Don't even have to give you the Flying Squirrels reminder anymore. Their season is in the book. Should we play the Squirrel Sounder one last time? I vote yes, and my vote counts most because I'm the person doing the show. Actually, I think technically Hazel's vote would count the most because you've got the buttons. I don't have the buttons. But I think Hazel's voting for one more run of the Squirrel Sounder as
well. One more.
One more time. Play that sound. Best sounder in baseball, best fans in baseball, attendance record for the third consecutive year. Not the best team in baseball this year, and that happens. You know, Mama said there'd be seasons like this. The Flying Squirrels went out with a loss on Sunday, 5-1 to the Altoona Curve. Final season record, 64-74. Diamond will be in action next on Friday night. With a movies in the outfield, sorry, Saturday night, with a movies in the outfield showing of one of my personal favorites, Happy Gilmore. Can't play for Chubbs. I'm playing for Chubbs. Great movie. Fantastic movie. Happy Gilmore. I think I saw they're filming a Happy Gilmore 2, which I'm, count me skeptical. Count me as skeptical on Happy Gilmore 2, but they'll be doing that out there in the outfield this weekend. In Squirrels Land, season is in the books. See you next year for what will be billed as the final season at the Diamond before they open the new stadium right next door in 2026. We'll be monitoring that construction. That should be fun. Parney Time took Georgia Tech and laid the points on VMI. He was good on that. I don't know. I don't remember what he took. I think he went with the Giants. But I think he may have also got in at 3 points. So I think he may have washed on that one. We'll take a peek, see what Parney did when we get to Parney Time on Friday. Right now, though, it's Cybert Monday on The Fan. Austin Cybert, 7 made field goals. The Commanders win a game without a touchdown. I covered the offense. I covered Jaden Daniels running. We do need to do a segment on the defense. That is something we're going to need to handle here because, look, I get that Emmanuel Forbes was bad because he was. Turns out he wasn't the entirety of the problem. And I think we need to divide the defense into two things here. One is the secondary. One is the line. Cleveland Farrell, by the way, on pace for like the quietest 17 sack season of all time. Shout out to Richmond's own Benedictine grad has picked up a sack late in both football games so far. They all count, especially when you're taking it back to the bank at the end of the season. All sacks count for the purposes of contract negotiations. And two late game sacks for Cleveland Farrell. Good to see him wreaking a little bit of havoc. Jamin Davis, by the way, inactive for the game. And look, I think that tells you, I don't think it was a statement of any kind by Dan Quinn. I think it was just the way the numbers broke. He wanted to get Johnny Newton some snaps, and I understand why he wanted to get Johnny Newton some snaps. And it's not a direct one-to-one, but you needed an extra defensive tackle, so you got to make a move at defensive end. And if you're going to have a smaller number of defensive ends, you need them to be versatile. And as much as we're all rooting for the Jamin Davis comeback story, he's not versatile right now. He's a situational guy right now. And so he's on the outside looking in. I don't think it's a permanent thing, especially when Johnny Newton gets back to playing a little bit more full-time. Johnny Newton, 12 snaps. So you needed Fedarian Mathis to be a part of that rotation. Carlos Watkins got the nod from the practice squad to come in as your backup defensive end. He only played 3 snaps. So conceptually, you could have let Jamin Davis play those 3 snaps almost certainly. I think in reality, though, Carlos Watkins was there in case they needed, there was an injury and they needed somebody to play every down. I don't think Jamin Davis is in that territory just yet. And I think that's okay. I think it's good to know what he is and who he is and who he's going to be. I started on the line, so let's finish on the line. Payne and Allen. Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen. Both star players. I think they're both really good. I don't think they've both been great through 2 weeks this year. I think it's, you know, and I said this last week, that if they had lost, it felt like a certainty that one of them was getting traded. I think it's less of a certainty at the moment. It would not surprise me if there's a lot of Jonathan Allen talk at the trade deadline this go-round. I just don't know that they're getting enough production relative to what's going to happen, you know, what you need to happen for a guy who's that highly paid. I don't know that they're getting that on the defensive line right now. With Cleveland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong, it's different. Those guys aren't the big money star players. Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen are, and I don't know that they're getting the production commensurate to the salary cap hit. It would not surprise me if they try to move one or both of them at the trade deadline. Those guys also, it's hard to do too much hand-wringing because they can step it up. The secondary cannot step it up. The secondary is what it is at this juncture, and it's bad. And you know I was beating the drum for Mike Sanristel before the season. He's been fine. He hasn't been a difference maker so far. I think Benjamin St. Juice had a really good game. I think Benjamin St. Juice showed the potential that he showed 2 years ago and is moving in the right direction. I also think he's one dude, and the other side of the field was pretty much wide open all day. Michael Davis started the game. Noah Igbinoghene finished the game. I wasn't impressed by either of them. I don't think Dan Quinn was impressed by either of them. And I think that's going to be an ongoing storyline as we move through the season here, because next week they're playing against Cincinnati, and Joe Burrow's got some good receivers, and then they're going to Arizona. And by the way, Marvin Harrison Jr. is spooky good right now. They're going to need to find answers there. I don't know if there's a guy you can bring in. I don't know if there's a trade you can make. But this is the one position you'd say has the potential to torpedo the entire season if you don't get it solved and don't get it solved quickly. Now, none of that overshadows the really good work that's happening on the offensive side of the ball. And none of that, to me, overshadows what's going on with Jaden Daniels and his development, which I think has been largely very positive. Cliff Kingsbury and his game plans, I think, have been largely very good. And perhaps the most exciting thing right now is the two running backs have been really, really good. B-Rob and Austin Eckler. We were calling for more of them after last week. We got to see more of them yesterday. B-Rob, 17 carries, 133 yards. Austin Eckler almost got to 100 total yards. 93 total yards, I believe, was his final tally with 3 caught passes and 8 runs on the ground. Both played, 81 was the final number on Austin Eckler. Either way, 200 yards between your two backs. They came to play. They contributed, and I think that's a big, big, big thing for this team going forward. Jaden Daniels needs that help. He needs a solid running game, and to provide a solid running game with B-Rob averaging 7.8 yards per carry, that's remarkable. That'll take you a long ways. A defense may not take you a long ways, but that'll take you a long ways. I think the other thing is running backs are tough dudes. Austin Eckler's been in the league forever. Brian Robinson, I mean, I don't know anybody's going to question his toughness after the thing where he, like, literally got shot and then played football 4 weeks later. They're tough dudes. And for all the hand-wringing about Jaden Daniels running too much, which he is, And I think he cleaned it up late in the game. He took that lick on a third down play, and I asked Brian Robinson about this after the game. He got the first down. It was third and 13, and he got it. And even though he had to leave the game, I think there was the sense that the teammates and everybody around him was like, all right, we can work with this kid. So I asked B-Rob about that.
He's only a rookie. You know, like, there's only so much I even expect him to be able to do. You know, so, like, for him to just put his body on the line, you know, multiple times and go all out just to get the first down, like, you know, I'm going to be there to pick him up, you know, and if anything else he need, you know, from me. You know, so he's a tough dude, and he's going to continue to show that, you know, over time he's going to continue to show how tough he is as a player. You know, and what more would I want from a quarterback, you know, that's willing to go and put his, you know, do my job and go and put his body on the line, you know, a critical time to get the first down. So, you know, I just tell him, like, play fast, play smart, you know, just play smart and just do, you know, do what you've always been doing.
Play fast.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Play smart. Play smart. I don't think it was an accident that he circled back on the play smart portion. You want to see it? That's the dichotomy of football. You want to see it because it got us all fired up. Jayden Daniels running for a first down on 3rd and 13. That's why he's the number 2 pick in the draft. Oh, and he's standing on the sideline now and he's hurt. And that's not good. But it was cool that time he got the first down on 3rd and 13. That part was good. And that's the dichotomy he's got to develop. 3rd and 13, Jayden Daniels running for a first down. I will always endorse that. I will always sign off on that. What bothered me was the two plays before where he ran back-to-back-to-back plays. In 2nd and 10, you don't need to put your body on the line on 2nd and 10. That's what B-Rob's there for. You don't need to make magic. Just look downfield. One of your receivers will come open. Really still waiting for that Terry McLaurin breakout catch, breakout throw, that connection we've been waiting for. You got Zach Ertz. We learned Zach Ertz can pull passes in. Wrestled the one away from the defender, which I thought was a slick play. Weird sequence there. The Giants tried to challenge the play and then tried to challenge that they challenged the play, which is not a legitimate challenge. You're not allowed to challenge whether or not you challenged. I don't think we got the A-team of referees yesterday because they spent a long time talking about that. That's an easy one. I feel like we could tee that up right here. Are you allowed to challenge whether or not you challenge? No, the play happened. They missed it. You got to move on. They spent a long time discussing that, though. Also, missing the challenge flag is kind of a miss, too. Later in the game, they almost missed a Dan Quinn trying to call a timeout. The coaches aren't allowed to go past the 25-yard line. Dan Quinn's standing there on the 25 yelling, trying to call timeout. None of the refs are looking at him. He actually ran down to the 10 to go call it. I think the refs let it slide because, he's trying to call a timeout. They only had 10 players on the field. That's why he called it. So there's a lot to clean up here. The penalties are a lot to clean up. 10 men on the field in a key goal line situation. That was the 2-point conversion after the final touchdown, I believe. A lot to clean up here. But with Jaden Daniels, you see the week-to-week move, and you see him take the steps forward every week. Let's go around the NFL next. I promised I'd get to the Dallas Cowboys. I will do it after this break. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Yeah, we're working like super hard.
Having ourselves a fun Cybert Monday here on The Fan. Austin Seibert, 7 field goals. Washington Commanders win. A game that, I'll say this, I've seen a lot of football games in my day, and that was one of them. The Washington Commanders. I think I tweeted at halftime, this game is living down to expectations. And I don't know that I'm ready to walk that back. The offense was better than it gets credit for because the penalties were just brutal and don't appear to be going anywhere. And you got a rookie quarterback. You can't be doing that as an offensive line, putting him behind the eight ball like that regularly. You got a defense that's bad. You can't be doing that against Daniel Jones. They pulled the rabbit out of the hat so many times. The Daniel Jones problem finally solved, though, and I don't know that we'll see Daniel Jones at Northwest Stadium anytime soon again. I think that's probably the beginning of the end of his time in New York. They're in for a long season out there. Lots of good football yesterday in the NFL. We got some 0-2 teams that are surprises. We got some 2-2 teams that are surprises. I think the Cowboys sitting right in the middle is a surprise after the opening week, but the New Orleans Saints may have an offense. I did not see this coming. The Derek Carr career renaissance started yesterday in Jerry World.
Play action to Jamal Williams. He's looking deep, and he's throwing deep, and he's throwing for Shaheed. Shaheed makes the catch. 10-5. Goose. See you later. 5. No flags. 70 yards. You can be greedy, my friend, because it makes for a great touchdown.
You can always be greedy at Jerry World. Nice win for the Saints. 44-19 over the Cowboys. We may have to recalibrate how dead Derek Carr's career is after two great outings to start the season. One could be an aberration. Two, all of a sudden, you start to change how you think. NFC South got a 2-0 Saints with a win over the Cowboys. That's an impressive win. 2-0 Buccaneers with an equally impressive win over the Lions, gutting that out in Detroit. All of a sudden, a division that we've laughed at for many years has a pair of 2-0 teams and a pair of very nice victories to their names. So the Saints and the Bucks, both had easy week ones, both come back with big week two wins, send the Lions to 1-1 and the Cowboys to 1-1 there. We mentioned the Packers a little bit earlier, took the L down in Brazil, and in their division, the margin for error is razor thin. This was a battle of 0-1 teams that really wanted to get right here, the Indianapolis Colts being the other one. And this one came down to the very end. Anthony Richardson, chance to win it on the final play.
Snap to Richardson. He looks. He waits.
Still looking. Winds up. Rainbows. Deep down the right side into a gaggle of bodies. It's broken up. Intercepted by the Packers. And there is your dagger. Intercepted by the rookie Evan Williams. And the Packers survive. 16-10 over the Colts. On opening day in Green Bay.
Well, Packers needed that one for sure. Malik Willis, shout out to the Liberty alumnus who got the job done for the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Won himself another week as they wait for Jordan Love to get back from injury. And you always want the backup to do well because you don't want the starter to have to rush back, right? Jordan Love, you don't want to have to rush him back. You want to feel good about what you got. They do. They needed that win. Nobody in the NFC North sporting a losing record right now. The Bears lost to the Texans last night, Sunday Night Football. I'm not down on the Bears. That's a young team, a young quarterback still finding itself in a tough schedule. Lions 1-1, as we mentioned. Strange loss to Tampa there. The toast of the NFC North is the one team we all wrote off for dead. Kirk Cousins left. J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the career revival of Sam Darnold.
Second and 9 for the Vikings from their own 3. Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads left to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Jefferson, and your Minnesota Vikings have a 9-0 lead.
Just like they drew it up a month ago, Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson. Who needs Kirk Cousins? Who needs J.J. McCarthy when you've got Sam Darnold? Coaching matters so, so much in the NFL. Kevin O'Connell, who did his stint in Washington under Jay Gruden, one of the good ones. He's got that team rolling, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Keeps Malik Willis on track with a great game plan. Coaching matters immensely in the NFL. Just look at our friends, the Denver Broncos, if you're wondering about that. The Sean Payton show goes off the rails at 0-2. And sure enough, in Pittsburgh, our guy, Mike Tomlin, all he does is crank out winning records. 2-0, neither of them with Russell Wilson. It's a fascinating one because you'd say Justin Fields has not been great in either game, but you also say maybe that's what Mike Tomlin wants, is just a guy who can keep things moving. That's Justin Fields. Russell Wilson, there's a little risk. There's a payoff, but there's a risk too. You might have the turnovers. You don't have that risk with Justin Fields, and that's going to be a fascinating one to watch going forward. They'll have tougher games where I think they want Russ, but right now, in what's a fairly soft early season schedule, they're getting exactly what they need. I think that's a team that could be really well positioned come playoff time if they manage this situation correctly, and I trust Mike Tomlin to do that. Other AFC team of note, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. They took it to the finish. They got the pass interference call. Sometimes you're at the depths of despair, and that yellow flag comes out and saves you. That was the case for our guy, Mitch Holtis.
Can the Chiefs pick up 4th and 16 from their own 35? The Bengals have 7 guys back at the first down marker. Mahomes stepping up, trying to buy time, moving to his left, scramble drill, pass off his back foot, incomplete, and it will be a flag thrown on the play! Hit in the back before the ball arrived was Rashee Rice.
Woo! Flag thrown on the play. That's 4th and 16. Going to lose to the Bengals. Flag thrown on the play. Exciting finish out there. Bengals 0-2. I don't know that I love Washington going to Cincinnati to play an 0-2 team that has playoff aspirations. I'm going to give the early call. This one has the potential to get ugly next week in Cincinnati. I hope it doesn't, but you're going to need to find a cornerback between then and now for that to happen, because right now it's not looking pretty. Cincinnati played really well. The Chiefs pulled the rabbit out of the hat at the end, as they do. It's is not luck if you do it every time you play. And that's certainly where the Chiefs are these days. They go to 2-0. Chargers 2-0 in the AFC West as well. All those Harbaughs do is win football games. We'll swing around college football. I promised you a UVA report from my time in the great city of Charlottesville, Virginia. I will furnish that, plus the word from Blacksburg as well. Hokies win at Old Dominion. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
We're in the
fourth quarter of today's radio program. Another 28 minutes with you. We'll send it off to Capitol Ale House. That's where AWOD is waiting. AWOD Radio, noon to 3 from the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night, Capitol Ale House. I think he'll have something to say on a Commander's Cyber Monday, Victory Monday. Hokies Victory Monday as well. Lots of good stuff going on out there. AWOD Radio, take that on Grant and Danny, host from 3 to 6. Now, they will probably have a different perspective on Saturday night's game than me, because we have UVA sports on here. They do Maryland sports up there in D.C. Pretty big win for Maryland. Coach Loxley, who came into the postgame press conference wearing an ACC sweatshirt, as it should be, get Maryland back to the ACC pronto. They don't belong in the Big Ten, never have, never will. I was up there in Charlottesville. Beautiful night. Love that place. Also, they've got the big TV now. I kind of love the big TV. I'm a big TV guy. They got the big TV now. It really enhances the game. They do the whole pregame, the video, the hype. It's easier to get hyped up about a hype video when it's on a big TV. I don't know if that's how it... I don't know what that says about me. It's a societal commentary. I get more fired up when it's on the big TV. They got the fire machines. They got the horse that rides around. One of the Maryland players ran into the horse accidentally.
That's just objectively better in every sense.
Yeah. Accidentally ran into the horse while the horse was running around. The horse has a name, but when the horse rides out of the tunnel, its name is Saber.
Oh.
So it's one of those things, like, doesn't matter what the horse's name is. It's Saber when it's the UVA horse.
Heard.
That's what I learned today. That's what I learned on Saturday night. So, yeah. Yeah, double it up.
Got to bring it back.
It's an educational program. A beautiful night out in Charlottesville. UVA, four trips to the red zone, 13 points out of that in the first half. That's where this thing went off the rails, of course, because they were dominating Maryland early. They were pushing them around, but you left them in the game, and then Maryland found its stride late. With a bad team, you can do that, right? When you're hosting, Richmond or somebody else, you could putz around for a little while. Against a good team, and I don't know if Maryland's a good team, but they're a good enough team. If you let them hang around, they eventually might figure it out. And that's what happened here. Tony Elliott on what happened in the second half to let Maryland back in the game.
The least important thing at in a game is a score at halftime, right? So we had, it didn't matter if we were up or we were down. We got to come out and play, the best second half that we possibly could. And tonight we didn't do that. And I haven't done a good job the last 2 weeks of having these guys ready to go coming out of half in the third quarter. So I got to do a better job. I got to coach better. I got to have them better prepared to win the second half of the middle eight. I thought they did a good job recapturing momentum with the first half of the middle eight, but we did not come out, had turnovers, and then we weren't able to establish anything offensively. But we got it to the fourth quarter, one possession game. That's where we want to be, and we just couldn't. We couldn't regenerate what we did last week, and we'll go back and we'll evaluate the film and figure out how we got to coach better and to better have these guys prepared.
Four turnovers for UVA. I don't think this is going to be a red alarm system, a red alarm situation here. Red alarm. I don't know. Code red. Code red's the word I'm looking for. Five alarm. Five alarm? Is that right? I don't know. Five spice chili. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that, because the issue last year was one guy was doing all the turnovers, Anthony Calandria, and he had on my scorecard a turnover. It was a bad interception. He threw it right to the Maryland guy, caught him in stride and everything, but that's one interception. He's now played 180 minutes of football this year. I'm not too worried about that long term. The fumble he had, the offensive lineman got pancake blocked, kicked his foot up, and kicked the football out of Anthony Calandria's arm. I'm not putting that on the quarterback. That's not a quarterback turnover to me. You had a receiver fumble the ball. Those things don't belong to the quarterback. And so I don't know that you have a long-term situation. Yeah, the short-term situation, though, of could have been 3-0. Would have been fun to be 3-0 because you would have got some people talking about UVA. Instead, you probably stabilize things. You're looking at, you know, you're still chasing that six. The road to six almost certainly involves winning this football game this weekend. They're going down to Coastal Carolina. This is not a given. Coastal's very good down there. UVA is going to be favored to win this game. This is a little bit like Tech going to Vandy. Not a sure thing, and certainly not the sure thing it's going to be painted to be. But if the road to six probably involves picking this one up, because you got Boston College coming in. They look good. You got Clemson. They look good. Notre Dame's going to be good. I think Virginia Tech probably put that on the board for the Hokies until further notice. So if you're going to get to six, that leaves you, you know, you got to get three: Coastal Carolina, Louisville, North Carolina, Pitt, and SMU. You got to get the third one this weekend so you can give yourself a chance into the ACC. Get to a bowl game in the third season. I think that's a reasonable goal. And if you get to five, I think you can still sell it as a positive step forward of developmental season. But you got the feeling they're going to lament that one got left on the board this week. And I think one did get left on the board this week. All right. I talked a lot about UVA. We did Virginia Tech earlier. Grabbed the Odyssey app on that. Pour one out for the Fightin' Shane Beamers, who hosted College Game Day, ran things the whole time against LSU, and then LSU rallies at the very finish to steal the victory.
Third down, goal to go from the Carolina 2. Nussmeier in the shotgun along with Williams. Here's the snap. Williams goes left side. Williams into the end zone. Put a Tiger 6 on it. Touchdown, Fighting Tigers of LSU. 2-yard touchdown for Josh Williams. And it's 35-33 with a point after try upcoming with a minute 12 to go in this one.
Everything that could go wrong for South Carolina did go wrong in that final sequence. I felt bad for the Fighting Shane Beamers. It just felt like there were so many the catch by LSU that was overturned on replay. One, hate doing a 4-minute replay late in the game. Two, if you have a 4-minute replay, it's probably inconclusive. And I think that one was definitely inconclusive / maybe not a pass. So it's good. I think I softened last week. I said I was coming around on replay in the NFL, that they've been moving it a little bit quicker. Good to get a reminder that I actually hate it so much. Stop the game at the end for 4 minutes. Just pull the lever on the slot machine, see what call you're going to make. Did not make any sense to me. And then South Carolina, this one's self-inflicted. They got to field goal range, and they just sat on it. I hate that so much. Not all field goals are the same. They got to a 50-yard field goal, ran out the clock to kick it. You had more opportunities to do things there, and I think they regret not doing those things. And, you know, look, you can spin that as a win. You hosted game day. You hosted a really good LSU team. You only lost by three. You had a fun game. But those are the ones that can define the program to, you know, a statement win if you can get it. The other thing I know we need to touch on before we duck off to crosstalk is number 7, because Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers got hurt this weekend, which meant that it's Arch Manning time for the Longhorns.
Split right with DeAndre Moore. Tight end is Gunnar Helm on second down. Handoff Weisner. Getting up, pulling it back in is Manning. Arch breaks a tackle. 50, 45 to the 30. Dare I say it? Say goodnight to it. 67 yards. Arch to the house.
Ooh, excited to see how they're going to put that toothpaste back in the tube when Quinn Ewers gets healthy. He is the quarterback. I don't think you lose your starting job. I think the Arch Manning hype train is about to go into overdrive, though. Some of y'all were telling on yourselves as football fans, because I saw a lot of online comments of like, Peyton and Eli could never do that. That's true. Peyton and Eli could not run 67 yards. They'd be winded. They'd have the oxygen mask on. Arch's granddad was a great runner back in the day. Archie Manning had wheels. That was his thing. Very, very much a family trait he's got that somehow skipped the Peyton and Eli generation. I don't know what Peyton's longest run is. I'm gonna go out of limit and say it was not 67 yards to the house. Arch Manning making the debut in Texas. That's my favorite national college football story this week. We'll put a bookmark in that. We'll get back to it. We got four more shows before we get to another football Saturday. We'll have time to talk about it. Don't you worry about that. But we had big doings in the Odyssey Fantasy Football League. And so I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring on Awan for some crosstalk and address what was a wild and perhaps unnecessarily so day of fantasy football. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.